Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm Thomas. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Before we get started, I want to mention that tomorrow night on Get Sleepy Premium, I'll be reading a sleep affirmations meditation. It's really soothing, and it will fill your heart and mind with positivity and gratitude. If you're like me and struggle to fall asleep, one of the best ways to overcome these struggles is to change our inner narrative about sleep. That is, changing the things we tell ourselves in our mind. Going from "I'm a bad sleeper" or "I need to sleep" to "I am calm and relaxed, and I know that sleep will come naturally." This adjustment in our attitude toward bedtime can make a big difference in your sleep experience. So be sure to sign up for Get Sleepy Premium if you haven't already, and tune in tomorrow for this meditation, which will really help to aid a healthier mindset. By joining our supporters feed, you get a bonus episode each and every week, access to our entire back catalogue, and everything is ad-free, so you can get a good night's rest every night. Sign up at getsleepy.com/support, or just follow the link in the show notes. And before we get to tonight's story, I'd like to thank our friends at Manta Sleep for their support. If you find yourself waking up earlier than you'd like, or if daytime naps are your thing, then you should definitely consider a Manta sleep mask. I use mine all the time, and it's so effective at cutting out light that I actually tend to sleep through to my morning alarm, which is in itself something of a mini miracle. Manta have several varieties of sleep masks, and they also sell body pillows, weighted blankets, and other great products to aid sleep. Right now, Manta are kindly offering 10% off for our listeners. Just go to mantasleep.com and use the code GETSLEEPY at the checkout to get 10% off their amazing products. That's mantasleep.com and use the code GETSLEEPY at checkout. Thanks again to our good friends at Manta for supporting the show. So, if you're ready, let's prepare for our story. Tonight, we will enjoy a riverboat tour up the Irrawaddy River in Southeast Asia. There, we'll relax in the shade and drift in and out of daydreams as the sights of Myanmar pass by. So let's prepare to listen with some nice, deep breaths. Stretch out any areas of your body that feel a little tense or uncomfortable. And just visualize the gentle flow of a river passing you by in a quiet spot. The air is clear and refreshing. The sun warms your face, and the scene as a whole gradually carries you into a peaceful sense of stillness. You breathe deeply for a little longer, feeling the last bits of tension melting away and leaving your body and mind clear, calm, and content, ready for a beautiful rest. As you drift off to sleep tonight, you can just listen to my voice in the background. Our story begins in the dim light that lingers just before dawn. Everyone and everything is still asleep as you approach the banks of the Irrawaddy River. It is still dark outside when you and your driver arrive at the Bagan Myanmar riverfront. Your chilly and exhilarating journey through the early morning streets, empty of everyone but you, has led you here. A last sip of warm tea from a thermos, and you are ready to get going. The tuk-tuk driver helps you down from his sputtering moto taxi and gently shepherds you across a nearly pitch-black, sandy beach toward a series of lights at the water's edge. You listen in the darkness to your own footsteps pressing into the damp sand. You realize you can hear the sound of your own heartbeat in your ears as you follow the lights that seem to bob up and down. A few cautious steps more, and the inky blackness gives way to a narrow flashlight beam. The light comes from the hand of a young sailor. He smiles at you, directing you toward a wooden gangplank laid across the lapping tide. With a polite nod, he bids you to enter the waiting boat. You thank the driver as he delivers you safely into the care of your boat's able crew. Climbing aboard the foredeck of the watercraft, you take stock of what little you can see of your surroundings. You seem to be on a medium-sized river cruiser, draped artfully from bow to stern in glowing light bulbs on a string. You listen to the river's languid waters clap against the boat's sides. It's a calming thud that caresses the ship, beckoning the craft and you into the river's current. The kindly sailor ushers you through a metal bulkhead and leads you below deck. You find yourself in the main cabin. Though there are porthole-style windows that run the length of the cabin, the lights here are still dim, and the air is perfectly still. Rows of well-worn leather seats stretch back to the rear of the craft. Typically, these seats would hold your fellow passengers, gap year backpackers perhaps, or adventure-seeking retirees. But not today. By complete chance, the boat seems to be yours alone, a private ferry to carry you up the enticing waters of the fabled Irrawaddy River. In the half-darkness, you settle into your seat, wrapping yourself up against the lingering cool of the river air in a fuzzy windbreaker you keep in your bag. Below your feet, you can feel the low rumble of the boat's diesel engines as the captain shifts them into reverse. You feel him steer away from port and into the centre of the broad riverway. The sound vibrations radiate up through the soles of your feet. They spread low pulses across your entire body, like the thump of your own heartbeat or the rustle of breath in your lungs. Soon, the boat sweeps a wide turn, crossing the current as the captain powers the engines forward. You rest your head up against the foggy window glass and drift back into a gentle half-sleep. Your journey upriver is now underway. In your mind, you enter a hazy, dreamlike state, somewhere between waking and sleeping. You think back to Bagan, the beautiful town you just departed, and about your previous day's adventures. As on every clear morning in Bagan, an armada of multi-toned hot air balloons soared above the temple tops, offering tourists from around the world a bird's-eye view of those protected monuments. Curious watchers gathered on the ground below with their binoculars and cameras. In return for their patience, they received a spectacular vision of all the colours of the rainbow suspended against a clear blue sky. It is one they will surely remember forever. In the late morning, you wandered the town's paths and back alleys, lined with curious shops, tea houses, and street-side vendors. You remember the refreshing whoosh of blue water from your hotel swimming pool in the mid-afternoon, as you dove beneath its glassy surface, cocooning yourself in its quietness. You recall the peaceful evening solitude of its open-air patio, where you sat, journaling by candlelight and listening to the low murmur of birds in its trees. There was nothing to do, no one to see, no concerns beyond that moment in that place. Your mind, your body, your entire being was at full and complete peace. Returning from your daydream, the first orange-red rivulets of the sunrise appear, the arrival of another exquisite morning in Myanmar. Slowly, you allow your eyes to open. The view that awaits you is nearly indescribable. Aroused by curiosity, you stand and emerge from the cabin into the crisp morning breeze, climbing the few metal steps to the sea craft's bow. There, just below and in front of the two wheelhouse windows, sits a weathered wooden chair. You notice that it's draped in the brilliantly coloured local cloth you have come to appreciate so much. This length of cloth appears to be hand-woven, most likely on a large wooden loom. It's a task that seems nearly impossible when you consider the striking intricacy of the design. Alternating zigzag and swirling stripe patterns, separated by fields of electric pinks, yellows, and greens, create a uniquely Burmese feel. The draped chair faces the river ahead, as if it were placed there specifically for you. And, in fact, perhaps it was. You smile appreciatively at the ship's captain through the window. In his starched white uniform, he returns a brief, hospitable bow and nods at the chair, urging you to sit. With the fine morning mist of the river swirling about, you draw your hood against your ears and settle down into the waiting chair. You watch the yellow, green, and red flag of Myanmar, with its white star in the center, flap vigorously in the breeze at the front of the ship. To be in Myanmar at this time, visiting its places and meeting the people you have, really feels special. Not so long ago, it may not have been possible. The entire country was closed to most outsiders for so many years. But now, as it gradually welcomes more tourists like yourself inside its borders, the mysteries and cultural riches of this nation are all now open to you. You have seen its sparse rural landscapes, its dense urban centres, heard its soothing music, and watched its spellbinding art and drama. And for that, you are grateful. Off in the ever-increasing distance behind you, the ruddy spires of the ancient temples of Old Bagan rise in front of the purple, fog-shrouded hills beyond. Hundreds of pointed stupas, grandiose bell-shaped structures topped by tall spires, stretch skyward from the dusty landscape. These symbols of Buddhist faith and culture form an awe-inspiring forest of domes and points that, only one day before, you were exploring every inch of on foot. This morning, however, your attention is focused on what lies ahead of you, not behind. Expanding out into infinity, as far away as the sloping horizon, is the full length of the storied Irrawaddy River. This is a river that has been vital to this region since the 6th century, carrying boats and their cargo from port to port along its shores. Its gently rolling waters urge your craft forward, gliding a path towards your eventual destination, the bustling city of Mandalay. What was once the last royal capital of the Burmese kingdom is now a metropolis full of urban life, art, and culture. It is your first time on this river, and your very first time to venture to this city. The prospect of both fills you inside with a profound sense of joy. You allow yourself one brief peek back to watch Old Bagan's historic temple complex shrink into the distance and then fade entirely from sight. Then it is just you, this boat, and the lazy, meandering river. It's the sound that draws your attention next. Or perhaps it's the lack of sound. The Irrawaddy River flows north to south, so your boat must work hard to power upriver. Somehow, it does so effortlessly, slicing through the water with no more than that same low rumble you felt before. Its pulsing vibrations lull you into a sense of peaceful focus. What you hear most, instead, is the subtle sloshing of the water against the hull and the easy lapping of swirling eddies. They turn in slow circles that blend the river's colours together and then separate them again. Browns, greens, and dreamlike blues. You watch them rotate this way and that, bathing your boat's path in their warm hues. As the sunrise gives way to brighter morning light, the early chill disappears, and you become curious to see more of your surroundings. Rising from your chair, you ascend a metal ladder to the upper deck. Here, the landing is fully open on one end, with teak reclining chairs laid out across it in rows. At the other end, you see a collection of tables, shielded by a cloth overhang, all of it ending in an ornate wooden counter. The surface is laid out with shining glasses, dark and clear beverages, and an already sweating bucket of ice. A deckhand approaches with a cozy towel. He drapes it across the slats of the reclining chair for your comfort. For the remainder of the morning hours, you bask in the warm Burmese sun, watching this unique and inspiring world pass by. Scattered here and there along the banks, Buddhist temple tops protrude above the tree line, their metallic spires reflecting onto the river and bathing the land around them in a golden shimmer. Small floating barges, outfitted with strong conveyor belts, carry loads of sand and rock, where it is sifted for valuable gems and minerals. Farmers ride ploughs over the fields behind pairs of zebu cattle, their fatty humps languidly shifting left to right and right to left as they trod the field rows. And much to your delight, small children occasionally leap from the sandy banks of the river, finding relief from the steamy weather in the cool waters below. The now constant scent of wood fire and a striking blend of fragrant seasonings rise from the rural kitchens that dot the shore. They are all cooking a late breakfast, and it awakens your sense of hunger, just in time, too. A crew member arrives to lay out a red tablecloth and a place setting on a table near the counter. It's time for a snack in the welcoming shade of the cloth overhang. A steel fan gently turns, brushing your cheeks with the slightest breeze. Already set out across the tabletop are petite dishes containing a mouth-watering selection of brightly coloured chilies and other local fare. The cheerful server pours you a tall glass of sparkling water. Bubbles sizzle on its surface. he sets before you a steaming bowl of mahinga, the unofficial national dish. It's a delectable assortment of fresh vermicelli noodles simmered in a nutritious broth. The flavors of lemongrass and onions, garlic and ginger permeate your senses. Atop the dish is a sliced banana blossom, some boiled eggs, and a few fritters. This traditional daytime meal hits the spot to nourish your body, filling it with a sense of well-being and warmth. Beside it sits another treat, the much-loved pickled tea leaf salad. It comes with tomatoes, garlic, and green chili, with a squeeze of lime. The taste is a bit sour, with even a hint of bitterness, but in the most marvelous way. As you savor every bite of the local meal, you think back on your time in the city of Old Bagan. You remember the parched and dusty roads that snaked wildly through the arid countryside, leading you from one historic location to the next. You recall the temple complexes, so bright on the outside, but so cool and dimly lit within. Their walls lined with carvings of the Buddha and stone effigies as tall as their ceilings. You heard the robed monks and nuns sweeping their corridors as they chanted midday prayers, and the distinct clack of sandaled footsteps in quiet temple chambers. You can still see the sun sinking across the meandering Ayawadi River. Your muscles still feel the climb to the top of an old stupa on the edge of it all, where you watched the scintillating amber, rouge, and canary hues of the Bagan sunset. Then, as you headed back into town afterwards, you remember the strings of electric bulbs illuminating the tourist night market. There, sellers display cloth body wraps, souvenir t-shirts, carved wooden trinkets, and delicately pressed paper goods. It was a satisfying few days. Too short, of course, but nonetheless, a time you will always recall fondly. As you sip the last drops of the mahinga and your lunchtime draws to a close, you notice the boat turning. It had, until now, been proceeding straight ahead all day. But now it embarks on a steady, broad drift to one side. Your journey upstream has reached a fork where the Ayawadi River joins the Chindwin River. The boat captain ably maneuvers the aft end of the boat around to enter the rightmost channel. To go left would have sent you far north, eventually making port near the far East Indian border. But instead, the right turn you have taken aligns your journey with your desired point of arrival, on the shores of Mandalay. After your meal, you return to the waiting chair, still draped in brightly coloured cloth. Here, you take a seat, grateful for the view this little perch provides. As the day moves on, the tropical sun arcs further overhead, streaming rivulets of light through the scattered clouds. You watch the riverbed churn below. Time passes slowly here. You listen as the boat's diesel engines continue to chug without end. You're not sure how much time has passed as you've fallen into the rhythm of the engines and the river. You look up to find a group of fishermen waving from the shore as they draw the day's catch. Off in a distant field, you can just make out teams of young people on a football pitch, laughing as they clap each other on the back for a game well played. Then, something below you catches your eye. You stand up and gently lean over the ship's railing to get a better view. You see, it was just a trick of the light, the glitter of the river reflecting off the ship. Somehow, you can feel your eventual destination approaching in the distance. Out there, awaiting your arrival is a city ready to welcome you to even greater adventures. But not yet. There is still time to soak in this unique river excursion, and you are eager to continue. In the late afternoon, it feels like the right time to find something cool to drink. You go to find the server. Behind the counter, he swiftly mixes his ingredients. A bit of this, a dash of that, a shake of ice, and it follows with a long, slow pour into a tall glass. He wipes down the counter and sets the brightly coloured drink in front of you. It reminds you of the sunsets here, the ones you became familiar with in Old Bagan. Red and orange and yellow, all together. That same indescribable glow seems to grace all Southeast Asian evenings, as it does nowhere else on the planet. At least nowhere you have visited yet. You sip the vibrant drink, experiencing the subtle mingling of sweet and sour tastes. The scent and sharp bite of local flavors, and the sugary finish it leaves on your tongue. It's a special kind of refreshing that seems to lower the temperature of your entire body in a flash. But as it turns out, the cool you feel comes from more than this sunset drink. It comes, in fact, from an actual shadow cast across the river. For the briefest of moments, what remains of the Myanmar daylight gives way to full shade as your boat motors under a lengthy, arched metal bridge, an apparent gateway spanning the entrance to the waters near Mandalay. Your day-long journey upriver nears its inevitable conclusion. You could ride on this river for hours more, of course, but you are pleased to have made it here nonetheless. And if what you can make out ahead of you is a good indication, the best part of your day may be yet to come. This short section of the Irrawaddy River is now surrounded on all sides by broad, leafy, tree-filled hilltops and outcroppings as far as your eye can make out. Many, in fact most, seem to be graced at their summits by the most exquisite, golden-domed temples you have ever seen. The glint of the now setting sun causes them to radiate and pulse like river gemstones, all shimmering in unison. What had been a relatively isolated cruise upriver to this point now becomes an armada. Your boat links up with several other smaller local boats, all of them apparently heading for home port at the end of the workday. As your boat captain meticulously glides your river craft into a port against a floating wooden dock lined with rubber tires, the server and deckhand arrive to assist you in safely disembarking. Local guides and seasoned taxi drivers await you on the rocky shore, eager to spirit you away to experience their city's charms. Or perhaps at this point, your waiting hotel and the comfort of its linen bed covers. This moment marks the end of your adventure on this boat up the mighty Ayawadi River. With its kind staff, its inviting decks, and its open air breeze. But there is no doubt that you will return here someday. You will come back to navigate this vital waterway again, to see where it will lead you next time. And to once again give yourself a few hours to relax with the charms and flow of life on this special Southeast Asian riverway.